HD Smartcast.
You're listening to a Hindustan Times production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Welcome to HD's A View from the Stands podcast, a series in which we'll discuss everything sports in the time of absolutely no sports. I'm Aditya Iyer, and with me is the national sports editor of Hindustan Times, Rudra Neel Sengupta.
Today's episode of A View from the Stands podcast is our version of the pointing Leo meme. Rudra, are you aware of the pointing Leo meme?
No, I'm not. It's completely new to me.
What okay, fine. So then a quick explainer for your sake and for the sake of our listeners. The pointing Leo meme is something that's trending on Twitter these days. It's a frame of Leonardo DiCaprio from his Rick Dalton avatar, which is from the movie Once Upon a Time in Hollywood by Quentin Tarantino. Now, this meme is basically a photograph of Leo with a can of beer and a cigarette in one hand and pointing at what seems to be a television with wide eyes with his other hand, with his other finger. Now, this has become a massive meme because basically people are using it to illustrate the television watcher's enthusiasm for finding stuff that's, you know, a little novel on the screen. So it's like, hey, look, I spotted this, right? This episode is
perfect sense.
Absolutely, because you know what the topic is. And the topic is the Leo pointing meme version of spotting sports references in non-sports books, movies, television series, all of it, comic books, right?
Yeah.
So then without further ado, I'm just going to get to it. My first sporting reference is from the song Mrs. Robinson. I'm sure you know what I'm going to talk about.
Yeah, beautiful song, beautiful reference.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's the reference of the baseball player Joe DiMaggio, right? And the story goes that Simon Garfunkel basically wrote it for the love of the era, for DiMaggio meant to an entire section of the American public, and sold it to Mike Nichols for the film The Graduate, which of course just made Dustin Hoffman into, you know, who he was later going to become. But every single time I listen to Mrs. Robinson, for some reason I stop when he says Joe DiMaggio, Jolton Joe as he was known, and I have to go and check him up every single time, and then I'm told about, his hitting streak and all of that, and then I'm like, hey, great, now I know what he did. And then the next time I listen to this song, I'm like, hey, man, Joe DiMaggio, now why does this name sound familiar? So, that's me.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because Joe DiMaggio is not even Paul Simon's generation. I would say his father's generation, right? I mean, it's not like he grew up watching Joe DiMaggio play.
Absolutely.
It's the great influence of Joe DiMaggio, the name. I mean, there's something lyrical about the name as well, and its influence on American sports, because I can think of another song written by another person who does not belong to the generation. And I'm talking about, I just quickly run through a line. Harry Truman, Doris Day, Red Tracker, Johnny Ray, South Pacific, Walter Winchell, Joe DiMaggio. Then be the Joel singing.
Of course. I think if you listen hard enough to We Didn't Start the Fire, there might be a reference to Arnab Goswami somewhere there, man. I think they reference everybody in the world. Anybody who's ever said anything is in that song. I'm not surprised Joe DiMaggio is in it.
Yeah, he name checks everyone. I mean, I before we started the podcast, I just quickly lifted out the names, the athletes that he mentions there. And then there's Joe DiMaggio, of course, and there's Sugar Ray Robinson, there's Rocky Marciano, there's Roy Campanella, Brooklyn Dodgers, Mickey Mantle, Sonny Liston beating Floyd Patterson. So, you know, you could write a song about this song.
That is so cool. I think he says Brooklyn has a decent team now or something like that, right?
Yes, that's right, yeah.
But what I wanted to ask you about basically is the boxing references, man. Like, because, you know, it's, you see it all the time. Like, unfortunately, Rocky is a sports film, but when Smokin' Joe shows up to ring the bell, I was like, hey, man, that's so cool. Like, you know, the real big Philadelphia guy showed up. I mean, it's so funny that there is no statue of Frazier in Philadelphia, but there's one of Rocky Balboa. But anyway, so please enlighten me about boxing, because I know that's your field.
No, I mean, it's funny that, I mean, I find it funny that boxing gets so many references in works of great literature. I mean, maybe it has something to do with, like, the very primal nature of it. Like, you know, two people against each other, you know, until one man is left standing. It's quite, like, the most brutal thing you can imagine. And, I mean, you've got everyone from Ernest Hemingway to Ralph Ellison in The Invisible Man, which is quite the harrowing experience, to Conan Doyle, where Sherlock dabbles in the sweet science, right? So there's boxing is all over great literature and in song. I remember the Fugees in this song called Ready or Not. They say that I refugee from Guantanamo Bay, dance around the border like I'm Cassius Clay.
Wow.
Mark Knopfler sings about Sonny Liston thing, so many mouths to feed on the farm. Sonny was the second to the last one born. His mama ran away and his daddy beat him bad and he grew up wild, good love he never had. And
excellent.
But the song that really wonderful song about which has a boxing reference. I mean, when I say boxing reference, because this is not really about boxing.
Yeah.
It is about a boxer. And I'm talking about Bob Dylan's Hurricane, when he talks about Reuben Carter and Reuben Carter's incarceration, how he gets convicted wrongly of a crime, re-establishment in America. It's a great ballad, a classic, and you know, for me, that would be my favorite when it comes to a great song with a sporting reference.
That's pretty cool, man. Because I actually have a Reuben Carter story here. Because I grew up in a boarding school that was basically started by this philosopher called Jiddu Krishnamurti. And in the school, in one of our dorms, there was a big poster of Denzel Washington as Reuben Carter in the film Hurricane, which I think is based on the Bob Dylan song, no? So,
that is a crazy story. Oh, wow.
Right? So I ended up watching the movie a couple of years later. This released in 1999. I was still in school then. In 2001, when I got out of school, I watched the Hurricane. And there is a scene where Reuben Carter he's incarcerated, he's in jail, and he's reading a Jiddu Krishnamurti book in the movie. Wow. And I was like, that's pretty crazy, man. Okay, my second Leo pointing moment meme I'm going to stay with the movies here. It's this film called Eastern Promises. Have you heard of it?
Right. Yeah, of course.
Ah, that's
David
right.
Cronenberg.
Sorry?
David Cronenberg.
David Cronenberg, precisely. Better known for making The Fly with Jeff Goldblum, but ended up making these two fabulous movies in the 2000s. Back to back, both of them had Viggo Mortensen in it. The first one is The History of Violence. The second film was the one that I'm referring to, and it's called Eastern Promises. Now, it's basically about the Russian mob, the Russian mafia in London. And I don't want to spoil anything for our listeners, but there's this scene that involves a kid walking towards Stamford Bridge. And the moment I saw that, I was like, hey, this is crazy, that's Shed End. And, you know, back then I was a big Chelsea fan. And you soon realize that the kid is an Arsenal fan amongst a sea of Chelsea fans, and he's rooting for Arsenal. And really pissing off the guys around him, right? And he does more to piss them off, which I won't reveal. And something really drastic happens to him right out at Stamford Bridge. That's my reference.
Wow.
I don't know if I gave away anything at all, but yeah, you have to watch it to see how cool it is.
But I mean, supporting Arsenal, what else will you do? I mean, that's the only thing left to be done, right?
supporting Arsenal in a sea of Chelsea fans.
Yeah, anywhere. Support Arsenal wherever you are. But they're talking about stadiums and football. I mean, and this is again going to this DiCaprio meme, right? Because there are certain songs that you hear in the stadiums at wherever in the world you are, whatever game you're watching. And these songs actually have nothing to do with sports, really. One of them, which is played in every football stadium in Europe, is Seven Nation Army by White Stripes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's even infiltrated cricket stadiums now.
Yeah, everywhere. There's no sporting event which does not have Seven Nation Army riff playing in the background. I mean, it's got fighting lyrics, right? I mean, I'm going to fight them all. Seven Nation Army couldn't hold me back. So, and that's the spirit that I suppose they want to invoke. But so there's no, surprise that Queen topped the list of this because you've got We Will Rock You and you've got We Are the Champions. I mean,
that's absolutely right.
The stadium without hearing We Are the Champions playing. Oh my God! I mean,
you've basically given me three earworms, boss.
Yeah.
You basically mean that these songs now have a new life, a new lease of life itself. They're not known for. The bands that created them, they're just now sports anthems.
Probably not. I don't even know if anybody knows the rest of the lyrics to these songs or who wrote them or what it's about. I mean, it's just,
Oh, thank you, man. Okay. So then I'm going to stick to music too and match you with, but this not too many people may know, not too many Pink Floyd fans may know either, but there's this song called Fearless from what is possibly my favorite Pink Floyd album called Metal. And this is the third song after One of These Days and Pillows. And this song is called Fearless and they end it with... basically a live recording of the Cop and Anfield singing You'll Never Walk Alone. I think every time a football fan listens to it for the first time, because it's not one of Floyd's most famous songs, but from Metal, Fearless was the only one that made it to Echoes, which was basically the best of collection, right? But again, a less spoken about song, and I totally did the Leo pointing when I first heard it some 20 years back.
Cool. I want to end with a book, actually. It just came because it's as irreverent and as crazy as it gets. I don't know if you know about the Flashman series, do you?
I don't actually. No idea.
Oh, so this is insanely funny series of books featuring this kind of anti-hero called Harry Flashman. This is during the 19th century, during the heydays of the British Empire, and Flashman is a soldier of fortune in the British Empire, and
uh-huh.
He goes everywhere that the empire has gone. In fact, the character Flashman is based on an earlier book called Tom Brown's School Days, where he is basically the chief tormentor of Tom Brown when Tom Brown was in rugby school.
All right.
Harry Flashman gets expelled from the school because of his antics. And so this British writer called George MacDonald Fraser, he resurrects his character and looks at what happens to Harry Flashman after he's expelled from rugby school.
This is a very early version of fan fiction.
Yeah, in a way, it's hilarious because Harry Flashman is an absolutely horrible man.
Right.
He's the worst character you've ever met. He has no morals whatsoever.
The guy who bullied Tom Brown now has a life of his own.
Exactly. Now he has a life of his own and it's hilarious. It's a beautifully, historically accurate depictions of the time as well. And the reference I'm talking about, I'm thinking of, is from the third book in the series called Flashman's Lady, which opens with this insanely good chapter on Flashman's cricketing days. And I don't think I've ever read a better writing on cricket than this one. And basically, it's Harry Flashman talking about how, when he was in rugby school, he did not want to play rugby because it was a dangerous game and he's a coward, basically. He wants to run away from any danger that comes his way. So, desperate to get out of rugby, he picks up cricket and gets really good at it.
Okay.
And And then this opening chapter of this book talks about Flash. There's one match he played in 1842 at Lord's where he takes a hat-trick. And apparently the word hat-trick is coined right then and there for Harry Flashman because...
Wait, let me guess, he doffs his hat. But where does the trick come?
The third wicket he gets, that man tells him, good trick, Harry, and he doffs his hat. I'm just going to read out a bit about from this book, and this is Flashman. The Flashman books are written in first person. It's like Flashman's memoirs. So, and it says, old Flash's approach to our great summer game wasn't quite that of your old school storybook hero. Apple-cheeked and manly, playing up unselfishly for the honor of the side and love for his gallant captain, reveling in the jolly rivalry of bat and ball while his carefree laughter rings across the greensward. No, not exactly. Personal glory and cheap wickets, however you could get him, and damn the honor of the side. That was my style. With a few quid picked up in side bets and plenty of skirt chasing afterwards from the sporting ladies who used to ogle as big hairy fielders over their parasols at Canterbury Week. So, and he goes on to talk about how cricket was a betting game back then, and he says that stakes could run pretty high. I have won £50,000 riding on a single inning with wild side bets of anything from a guinea to a thou on how many wickets Marston would take. Matches were sold and thrown, players were bribed and threatened, wickets were doctored, and I've known the whole 11 of a respected county side to sneak out en masse and piss on the wicket in the dark so that their twisters could get a grip next morning. I got a nasty cold myself.
Excellent.
That's like talking about cricket.
Fabulous. That was our episode, which is the equivalent of the Leo pointing meme. Thank you, Rudra. And catch you guys next time.
Thank you and bye.
This was an episode of A View from the Stands. Do like and follow us on at HT Smartcast on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter, or write to us on podcasts@hindustantimes.com. You can listen to more podcasts by logging on to htsmartcast.com.
This was a Hindustan Times production brought to you by HT Smartcast. HD Smartcast.